Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Did it. This ain't no disco. It ain't no country club either. This is L.A. All I want to do is have a little fun before I die. There's a man next to me out of nowhere. It's apropos of nothing. He says his name is William. I'm sure he's Bill, Billy, or Mac, or Buddy. And he's plain ugly to me. And I wonder if he's ever had a day of fun in his whole life. And we are drinking beer at noon on Tuesday.
Let's go Morning News with Andrew McKay. I'm Bobby Rossi. Filling in for Andrew. If you'd like to weigh in, give us a call or text 850-437-1620. 850-437-1620. There's quite a few stories I want to talk about, one of which it would be this Nancy Guthrie story, Savannah Guthrie's missing mother. I'll talk about that in just a minute. First, I want to get into the mayor. Well, actually, before I even get into the mayor story, I do want to get into your text. So we've got quite a few texts here on our text line. If you'd like to weigh in, 850-437-1620, 850-437-1620. We're talking about healthcare and how Robert Kennedy Jr. said every hospital needs to publish their pricing. And we're talking about published pricing and how sometimes going in as a cash payer, you'll actually get a better deal than you would if you went in with insurance. And so I'm saying when you're asking them to publish pricing, which pricing based on certain insurances, like if you have this insurance, this is how much it's going to cost. If you have Medicaid, this is how much it's going to cost. If you have Medicare, this is how much it's going to cost. If you have Medicare Part B or Part A, whatever, this is what's going to cost. If you're a cash buyer, this is what's going to, like, what prices would they have to publish? That's the problem. They have different pricing for everything. Got a text here. My wife needed a tooth pulled when we lived in Navarre. I have Republic Services health insurance. We would have had to wait 2 to 3 months using insurance, but we got it done in 3 days paying cash. Oh, yeah, there's that too. There's that too. The different level of service, not just price, but the different level of service based on what you might be doing, based on your insurance or based on cash pay. Yeah, that's a good point too. Then let's see here. There is another text. Get over here. People need. Oh, because we're talking about drones and the new FAA restrictions that you cannot use drones over any federal operations. And I was saying the allegation is this is occurring or this is being put in place to stop people from spying on ICE operations. And my initial thought was, well, I don't know if I agree with that. Like, why shouldn't we, like, it doesn't hurt having a drone flying over showing what's going on with an ICE operation, does it? Well, got a text here, says it does. Quote, people need to understand that restricting observation by making drones restricted over DOD or ICE operations is a national security measure, because it makes it so tactics and operations are not easily learned and threatened. It's called Operation Security or OPSEC. Oh, now that's an interesting aspect of it. It's not just, hey, we're trying to observe to make sure that they're not doing something they shouldn't be doing. It's really more about if you're using drones and following these operations, then basically you could be trying to learn the operational tactics and behaviors and things like that, and then that could be the national security issue at hand. Good point. Let's see here. We've got another text. New police chief. So I had my question. I had a question, which is, what do you think of the new police chief? I've seen a lot of people concerned that the new police chief does not have local experience. What are your thoughts on that? 850-437-1620. 850-437-1620. Let's go to traffic and weather together on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Still rolling accident-free right now, but not delay-free. I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29 through the construction zone is seeing a 12-minute delay. Also, Avalon Boulevard southbound as you approach I-10 is seeing about a 7-minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right. What are your thoughts on the new police chief? Got one here. The new police chief should do well. Here's a couple texts. The new police chief should do well as long as he has no Yankee liberal tendencies and doesn't cotton to illegal aliens or the idiots protesting against ICE. I don't know if in the interview process his political affiliations or his, you know, I don't know. I don't know if any of that stuff was even brought up. Got another text here. It says, why did the new police chief leave his last chief job after only 3 years? Well, that's a good question. He's in a larger city in Grand Rapids, second largest city in Michigan, I believe. And so why is he leaving that position after just 3 years and coming here? I mean, I got my assumptions. Where would you rather live? Grand Rapids or Pensacola? Right? But I don't know. I don't know. John, why don't you get him on the phone? Let's find out. Just give him a call. I know you got his number.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. It's the hotline. Number, so. Yeah.
Yeah, the hotline, exactly. So, yeah, I have no idea. That's a good question. Then let's see here. Let's go to, another text on our text line. I think it's hypocritical that the government can use drones to observe and surveil us, but we can't do the same with them. Well, that's an interesting angle on it as well. Absolutely. I know this drone situation. I like I said, my first reaction was, I get why you don't want to have drones over, like, military bases or drones over, like, Department of Homeland Security or the Pentagon or something like that. I get that. But over ICE operation, if there's an active operation going on with ICE, I don't see why you can't, you know, why you wouldn't be able to do that. But I do kind of see, like, okay, I see some reasons why you wouldn't want that under certain circumstances and situations. So thanks for the text. If you'd like to weigh in, 850-437-1620, 850-437-1620. President Trump directing federal law enforcement to help search for Savannah Guthrie's missing mother. So I got to be honest. In the past few days, I kept seeing, like, as I walk past a screen, a TV screen, or I'm at the gym and I see something, Fox News or CNN, Nancy Guthrie missing. I'm like, who? and why? Is this why? Who? What? And it wasn't until yesterday when I finally was like, I need to figure out what's going on with this Nancy Guthrie story. I'm gonna be filling in for Andrew. And this is apparently, like, on all the TV networks. Who the heck is this? You know, what's going on? So I pulled it up and I didn't realize. So it's Savannah Guthrie, so the co-host of the Today Show. It's her mother. I still got to be honest, I don't understand why this is still, like, such a big national story. I could see it being covered nationally, but it's like the lead story on thehill.com. It's like the lead story on Fox News. I'm like, what? Okay. There's people who go missing all the time and get kidnapped all the time, and it just seems odd that this is a national story, unless she's being kidnapped because of the influence Savannah Guthrie has, and they're trying to use that to try. But so far we have, there's no ransom. There's nothing that we have so far. So, I don't know, it's kind of an odd story. But President Trump said he is directing federal agents to assist in the search for Today Show anchor Savannah Guthrie's mother, Nancy Guthrie. So I'll give you a heads up, you know, about that. Now, one story that does, you know, when I look at it, I go, the WIFM, what's in it for me type story, is the national housing crisis. There's a bill that is going through the state legislature, through the Senate, that would try to boost affordable housing through ADUs. ADUs are accessory dwelling units, often called granny flats, carriage houses, things like that. What is an ADU, though, in reality? Like, what is it in layman's terms? It's basically like a garage apartment. Like, you convert your garage into an apartment. You could have maybe a mother-in-law's suite with a separate entrance. It could be a tiny home that you add onto your property. It could be an addition, a small little addition onto your home that is an apartment. It could be you've got a separate access to one part of your home. You're going to go ahead and convert that into its own little apartment. So this bill going through the state legislature would allow ADUs, accessory dwelling units, in areas usually restricted to single-family homes. Now, one thing about this is you're going to run into local ordinance problems. So the state could pass something and say, hey, you should be able to build ADUs and in single-family home areas. But local governments could go in and go, no, we don't want that here, right? So you're going to run into problems with local ordinances, and then that's going to go probably to the Florida Supreme Court and all that stuff. But I'll say this. They're like, ADUs can increase. This is from Senator Don Gates from Niceville. So this is, he's one of the bill sponsors. So this is something he is looking for. Our area is what he's looking at. He says, quote, ADUs can increase workforce housing because ADUs cost less to build, they cost less to rent, and are often located in areas where workers need to live and be close to their jobs. Okay, one thing about it is, what do you want to bet that you get more ADUs approved in the Pensacola area, and all that's going to mean is more Airbnbs? I'm just saying, let's be real. If you're allowed to build a garage apartment, or have some other accessory dwelling unit or whatever like that, that's usually what people use for Airbnbs right now. And that's one of the problems that Pensacola already has, is that people are building, or are not building, but they have accessory units, and they are using them as Airbnbs. There's a report a couple years ago that a bit of the housing crisis in Pensacola area is not that we don't have enough housing. It's that the housing that we have is being used as temporary housing, not permanent housing, not long-term housing. I'm betting you approve ADUs, and you're probably going to just continue that pattern throughout the whole state. I don't know for sure. I'm just saying that that's a concern, besides the fact that local ordinances are going to go, no, we don't want that. All right, Pensacola Morning News, Andrew McKay. I'm Bobby Rossi filling in for Andrew. Let's go ahead and get a quick break here on News Radio 92.3. And when we come back, we'll get an update from David Wayne over the newsroom, plus a solar farm in Baldwin County. Let's talk about that next.
That's right. But first, let's do our traffic on the fives real quick. No accidents to let you know about. But again, if you're on I-10 between 9 Mile and Highway 29 eastbound, you're going to see some delays through that construction zone. Also, Highway 29 southbound as you approach 9 Mile Road. Seeing about a 7-minute delay there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Refresh your basketball fandom with an ice cold Coca-Cola. Enjoy great taste from tip off to the final buzzer with Coca-Cola. Grab a full court flavor with ice cold Coca-Cola. Make the run to your local grocery store or convenience store before the game begins and grab a Coke.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Do you love church? Ephesians 5 tells us that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Acts 20:28 says that Christ purchased the church with his blood. 1 Timothy 3 tells us that the church is the pillar and ground of truth. So obviously, the New Testament places a huge priority on the church. If you're a Christian but not a member of a local Bible preaching church, I urge you to get involved as soon as possible. You possess unique spiritual gifts that can be used within the body of believers. Hebrews 10 tells Christians to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. God wants us to worship Him and provoke others to love and good works. Attend a Bible-believing church this Sunday.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
You don't need another money hack.
You need a plan.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights at 7 on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Money talks, but it don't sing and dance and it don't walk. As long as I can have you here with me, I'd much rather be forever in blue jeans. Honey's sweet.
Got another text thing.
But it ain't nothing.
Drones flying over ICE. It's hard to tell who is ICE or federal agency when they are masked up and wearing plain clothes. How's a drone user supposed to know when and where they cannot use it? Well, I see what you're saying.
It's up to the FAA to post that TFR. And then it's up to the operator to check the TFRs before flying. And again, there's several apps that can do that.
Oh, so in other words, if ICE is doing an operation somewhere, they're going to have it posted or published in a place for people to be able to, like, this is a no-fly zone. So
yes.
If you're about to fly something, there might be an operation going on, or there just might be something going on. There's some activity going on,
right?
So there's some activity going on there. Before you fly it, to observe the activity, you check your no-fly zone thing, and they go, oh, no, that's a no-fly zone. You can't fly it.
Right. And so if they don't do that, then that's on them.
Oh, okay.
Because a TFR can be in a – I mean, it could be a wide area. That way you don't know, but, you know, it has a time sometimes. But it's up to the drone user to check that.
All right. Sounds good. Cool. That's good to know. That's very good to know because – I'm not familiar with flying drones and things like that. So, that's how you would know. You would know if it's a federal operation. So in other words, you're not going to know if it's a federal operation.
You're not going to know what it's for.
I'm going to fly my drone. Yeah. Let me check the no-fly zone. Oh, the no-fly zone says I can't fly it there.
Correct.
Right?
They don't have to say what it is. They just say it's a temporary flight restriction here until 4:00.
I got you. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. In Baldwin County in Stockton, there is a proposal for a massive solar farm. This solar farm is supposed to power the new Meta plant, the Meta data center that is going in south of Montgomery. So Meta, of course, being, you know, Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff. So, but apparently residents in Stockton don't want it. They're opposing it or want to oppose it. And there's been issues in the past of development in that area with environmental issues and protecting some sort of gophers and stuff like that. And so they're going to try to use environmental things to make sure they stop it. But yeah, these massive solar farms, it would be on thousands of acres of land. And so you're like, and you see these things and look, we're seeing solar farms popping up all over the country. We have solar farms here in the Panhandle as well. And so this is just another one that would be popping up. There's something interesting I saw as it pertained to solar farms. Ran out of time to go to David Wayne in the newsroom. Real quick, Elon Musk says we need to start putting data centers in space and run them through solar power in space. So this would no longer be a problem for Baldwin County or any of us. Put the data centers up there with solar power. How do they get the power down here?
Fox News, I'm CJ Pop with the desperate search for 84-year-old Nancy Guthrie, the mother of Today co-host Savannah Guthrie.
Everyone is looking for you, Mommy, everywhere.
That's from Savannah's Instagram.
Nancy Guthrie was last seen on Saturday night when she was dropped at her home after dinner with family. When she did not arrive for church services the next day, someone from the church contacted the family. She was later reported missing.
That's Fox's Lisa Acuna in Tucson. Police believe Nancy Guthrie was taken from her home while she slept, adding there's no person or persons of interest yet. She's been missing for 5 days. President Trump discussing ICE enforcing in Minneapolis with NBC Nightly News.
Maybe we can use a little bit of a softer touch, but you still have to be tough.
Federal agents are promised more access to jails to take custody of potential deportees. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 35 degrees right now. It is, looks like, partly cloudy skies here across the area. We'll get to our full forecast. Brooke Richardson and Channel 3 will have that for us in just a few minutes. Well, Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves is delivering his State of the City address tonight at the Bayview Community Center. Now, it's free. It's open to the public. But they would like people to register online if you're planning to go to it live.
You're more than welcome to show up without, but it certainly helps the volunteers that are putting it on if they can just know that you're coming. So if you go to CivicCon, you can just register. Doesn't cost anything. Takes 10 seconds.
And you can register on the CivicCon website. The address does begin at 6 p.m. tonight. Now, also, we will carry that live here on News Radio 92.3 on air and on the News Radio app. That address typically covers major city accomplishments over the year and outlines priorities for the year ahead. The Escambia County Commissioners meet twice today, starting at 9 o'clock this morning for a committee of the whole workshop. They'll be discussing customary use on Perdido Key beaches. Florida law did change last year, which makes it a little bit easier for counties to pass customary use ordinances, which will allow public access to private beach property. Public comment on customary use is scheduled for February 19th. The regular commission meeting will happen later this evening as well, with discussions on the future of the local option sales tax and proclamations recognizing General Daniel Chappie James Day and 211 Awareness Day on February 11th. Lost 4 expires at the end of 2028. That funds major infrastructure projects. Both of those meetings are at the county government building. Well, a new Florida bill would require elementary schools to display presidential portraits. Austin Price with the details
on
that.
Despite being what some might argue is bizarrely patriotic, Senate Bill 420 does not require schools to hang up pictures of just any president in any classroom. Rather, it's in social studies classrooms in particular, and involves hanging up pictures of two of the most influential and impactful presidents of our history, George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. The bill has passed 2 committees so far and will be heard in 1 more before heading to the Senate floor. I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Austin. One person was hurt after their vehicle hit a tree in Escambia County last night. Happened near West Jackson and North Fairfield Drive at about 7:30 p.m. That person was taken to the hospital on a trauma alert. Well, Pensacola named Eric Winstrom as the city's next police chief. That is pending city approval. Winstrom spoke at a mayor's press conference yesterday and said that he knows his first priority is going to be earning the trust of the city and the department.
I've told him, and I'll tell you, I will not let you down. I will be the hardest working employee of the city. I'll definitely be the hardest working member of the police department.
And Winstrom begins on March 2nd, pending city council approval. He is planning to move to Pensacola with his wife, Rachel, and his 2 children. It is 7:35 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the 5s. Good morning, John.
Well, good morning, David. We have an accident that just happened southbound Highway 29, just north of 10 Mile Road. The vehicles are off to the shoulder, but there is still debris in the roadway, so be careful. Thank you for the update on that one. But other than that, there are no other accidents to let you know about. And zooming this computer back out. All right, so if you're on I-10 eastbound, again, between 9 Mile and Highway 29, you're going to see about a 15-minute delay through the construction zone. Highway 90 southbound coming into Pensacola, about a 7-minute delay there. In Avalon Boulevard southbound heading toward I-10, you're going to see a 9-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5s.
Thank you very much, John. And now our weather forecast with Channel 3 meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
We you're starting off with a chilly start to your day with very breezy conditions. Winds will stay high as you go through your afternoon. 51 degrees for your high, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping again back near 35 degrees. For Friday, starting to warm up, sunshine with a high near 61. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 44 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. And we've got 36 degrees right now with, looks like partly cloudy skies. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Sony has reported a rise in operating profit that beat expectations, supported by favorable foreign exchange rates, despite surging memory chip costs. Operating profit jumped 22% from a year earlier, rebounding from a year-on-year decline in the previous quarter. Shares of UK-based semiconductor designer Arm Holdings plunged nearly 8% after the company's licensing revenue missed Wall Street estimates. Arm's fiscal third quarter licensing revenue rose 25% from a year earlier to $505 million, but came in 2.9% below the nearly $520 million expected by analysts surveyed by FactSet. The WisdomTree Cloud Computing Fund has plummeted about 20% so far in 2026, including a 6.5% drop this week as AI concerns punish the sector. New legal and marketing features from Anthropic's Claude Cowork productivity tool have made software investors more skittish about disruption. Futures are moderately lower. That's your money now.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Greater Pensacola's leaders are in the tallest buildings and smallest shops, and they come together here to drive growth in innovation, to bridge industries, to share fresh ideas, and to understand how they can play a part in Greater Pensacola's success. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
No opinions, no arguing, just the news. Right now.
Right now.
Chris Bryant, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 to 7.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
All right, so we're here with Eric Winstrom. Am I saying it right?
You got it.
He is the chief designate. I don't know what the exact title is because you've been appointed but not confirmed yet. You'll be the chief of Pensacola Police here shortly.
Right. Yeah.
So before we get started with anything else, I got to get the important stuff out.
Okay.
You were in Chicago for 21 years. Mm-hmm. Cubs or White Sox?
I'm actually a Yankees fan.
Oh, no.
I know. I'm sorry.
No. Next, you're going to tell me you're a Giants fan, too.
No. It might be worse. I'm actually a Buffalo Bills fan.
Oh.
Yeah, I was born in Buffalo, New York.
All right, so that's it. Eric, nice to know you.
Nice to meet
you. So I grew up in Detroit and also Chicago, but I fell back in love with baseball in St. Louis. I'm a Cardinals fan.
Oh, okay. So,
all right. But, you know, we'll let that slide.
We can still be friends.
Since we're in the vicinity, I know this doesn't have anything to do with anything, but it's getting to know you stuff.
Yeah.
Since you lived in Grand Rapids and since you lived in Chicago, but I guess you said you're a Bills fan, so neither Bears nor Lions?
It's been a tough couple of years because all my Chicago friends love the Bears. All my Grand Rapids friends love the Lions. So I try and support both of them when it doesn't conflict, which is hard. Since we're in the same division and everything, but so it was sad to see both of them get knocked out of the, as well as sad to see the Bills get
Yeah, everybody but, right?
Yeah.
All right, last sports question, I promise.
Okay.
Do you have a college football team? Well, because around here, you're going to have, if you don't, you're going to have to find one.
I'm going to have to stick with the college I graduated from, which is Rutgers, the Rutgers Scarlet Knights.
Okay, all right.
Even though
I went to Illinois. You're in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Yeah, we don't have, 2 years of my college time, we were 0-11, our football team. So
sounds right.
We don't have the best track record, but I got to be loyal.
So let's start with some of your sort of personal background. I think it's really interesting. You're from, is it New York originally? Where were you from originally?
Born in Buffalo.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so then, from New York.
Lived in Austin, Texas for some years of my youth.
And so you have some Southern in you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And how my long? Parents actually lived in Austin for probably 30 years, but I was there for about 5 years.
Okay.
Then I went to high school and college in New Jersey.
Okay.
And then moved to Brooklyn, New York, and then moved to Chicago.
And law school was in New York?
Yeah, yep.
Not Rutgers, though. Where'd you go?
No, I went to Brooklyn Law School.
Okay. Yeah. So, as I understand it, there was something happened with your brother. There was some kind of charges or whatever, and he was the reason you didn't like how he got treated, is the way
yeah.
I took it.
Yeah, exactly
and that,
right.
And that led you into the law in an effort to reform policing.
Exactly right, and that's from when 11 years old, we were living in Austin, Texas, and it was the 80s, and the 80s was not a time you wanted to be selling drugs in Texas, mm-hmm. And he sold a very small amount of cocaine, not that I'm an advocate for cocaine, but 11 years old, I love my brother, and...
He was 11, and he sold...
I was 11.
You were 11.
I was 11,
oh,
yeah, okay. It's my big brother, he's the reason I'm a Buffalo Bills fan.
So. All right.
And he got sentenced as a young man himself, granted technically an adult, but he was sentenced to 10 years in prison for selling one bag, a very small bag of cocaine to an undercover police officer at a bar.
Yeah.
And I just saw it as fundamentally unfair. And really my, the worst impact was what I saw my mom went through. And obviously we would go to visit him in prison every Sunday, load up the car and go out to Huntsville, Texas, which is where his prison was. And just devastated her, and that devastated me. Mm-hmm. And seeing my, talking to my brother behind a glass, had a real impact on me. And didn't like how the war on drugs was being waged. And I felt a lot of sympathies for my brother, who had some dependency issues. And then having him come out of prison, then he did less than 10 years. He was on parole for that whole time, but he agreed to a work. Program where he did 2 years or 2.5 years, came out, and then good luck finding a job
yeah.
in the 80s and the early 90s.
Check the box, right?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So seeing the struggles he went through, yeah, I was not a fan of the police. I was not, I was a kid that in high school police would come speak to our class and I would challenge them. I'd push back and I'd say, that I think the war on drugs devastates families, separates families. I think it's unfair. And so that stuck with me. And of course, thought I knew everything when I went to college and kept thinking I knew everything when I went to law school and I was going to change the world. And I ended up in the New York City Police Department's Legal Affairs Bureau with a section of attorneys that just fired police officers through their administrative process. So
this is not IA, but it's like operational arm of IA.
Yep, yeah, IA takes the case and hands it over to this group. It's called
Got
the Department
it.
Advocate's Office. And they, sometimes we're suspending a guy for a year. Sometimes we're firing them, but they're entitled to a hearing. And these are where the prosecutors in the hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that I was partnered up with happened to be a sworn police officer who went to law school, became a police officer. His name is John Perry. We could do a separate radio show about John, and I'll just tell you real quick. John went to Columbia Law School, graduated, joined the police department, and was just going to do 5 years there in New York. If you do 5 years, you can retire. You can get a retired ID and a star and a tiny pension. But then he was going to go be a lawyer, and he went. His last day of work was September 11th, 2001, and he was one of the 23 NYPD officers who walked out of one police plaza over to the towers, and he was killed that day. So very, very interesting guy himself. But he pretty much told me I was an idiot, that I was a kid, I didn't know what I was doing, and if I really wanted to change the world in policing, I should consider doing it from the inside to get that legitimacy and get really the understanding of all the positive in policing. And since then, obviously, I fell in love with policing. It truly is a calling. And
so your background is... alienated from the cops, had an older brother who got arrested for minor possession of amounts and sentenced to a long period of time, went to law school to fight against crime fighters and put them and get rid of them and fire them, got convinced to become a cop. You become a cop, you work in Chicago, a notoriously challenged place and department. I grew up in Downers Grove. I'm from Downers Grove North, so I'm from there. You work there for 21 years. You're working child crimes at one point. You're working the projects at one point. You're working on the consent decree development when that department is getting in trouble with the Department of Justice. And then you go to Grand Rapids, you become police chief. I mean, there's surely no chance that 15-year-old Eric Winstrom ever imagined he'd be the chief of police in, you know, Grand Rapids or Pensacola, Florida. Is that fair to say?
No. Oh, yeah.
And let's pause right there for a quick traffic on the fives. We've got an accident that happened just southbound on Highway 29, just north of 10 Mile Road. Again, the vehicle's off to the side of the road. I'm seeing minor delays in that area. But I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29, seeing a 12-minute delay through the construction zone. Also, Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, see, experiencing a 11-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives. Now let's get back to the interview that with the new police chief, Eric Winstrom, with Andrew.
Yeah, absolutely fair to say. Yeah, wow. It's as much a surprise to me as anyone else.
You seem to sound, you hated the cops at a young age.
Yeah.
What's changed? I mean, what is your, like, how much, I know that's a grand question with all the experience you've had, but what now do you think about police?
Oh, I think it's the best for somebody like me. If I had the mind to be a brain surgeon or something else that was as meaningful to me, like I could see how there's other jobs out there that are me. But for me personally, it is a job that I can find the most satisfaction in, of having the chance to have a positive impact on somebody else's, someone else's, on the world, but also on someone else's life.
I think it's also fascinating because I hadn't known the history about as much with your brother, but when I think about kind of your experience set, the working in the projects to me is a big plus. Coming to our area, we have a lot of poor people, well, a lot of minorities. Also, and it doesn't mean they're the same, but it means you've got experience working with some of the more difficult elements.
Yeah.
And same thing with, visiting the jails is cops should understand what it means to be an inmate. I mean, that's the end result of what you do so much of the time. And, having a sensitivity for that or a sympathy, at least, to understand what that means to people's lives, means that you enforce the law in what I would hope would be a fair and also even a gracious way, because you think about what is this doing, not just to this person, this victim, but this family, this community.
Absolutely. Yeah. Very insightful and 100%. And that translates not only enforcing the law, but how we, look at our unhoused community. I know there's a level of individuals who don't have a door to lock here in Pensacola, and same with obviously Chicago and Grand Rapids. And not to get all religious, but when I hear their stories and talk with them, I just know it's there before the grace of God go. That could be very easily could be me. It could be a family member of mine. And certainly it's the same way with crime. Now, there are instances in my career where it's been a very bright line. You mentioned the child sex crime team that I worked in Chicago, and I had no sympathy. It was, this person needs to be in prison or worse for the rest of their lives. But generally, the world is not that black and white, and it's not that simple. And so having empathy as a police officer, I think, is one of the most important things. Otherwise, you get into a rut where it truly becomes like you're an occupying army, and you're mistreating people, and that's bad for everybody. The second you become it turns into us against them with police versus everyone else, that is a recipe which I saw early, especially in my time in Chicago. That's just a recipe to lose, to never gain any trust, and it becomes a more dangerous city altogether.
You mentioned religion. You can feel free to pass on questions that I ask you, but
you
man of faith?
I am, yep. Mm-hmm, yep. I'm a Christian. I believe in the power of prayer. I'm very thankful. A lot of people that I've met here said they're praying for you, and I think that's probably why I'm here today. I was raised in an evangelical free church, which is sort of like the Norwegian version of a Baptist church.
Yeah.
Yeah, even though my heritage, I'm Swedish from a few generations ago.
And your wife is a cop too, right?
She was or a police was. Officer. Yeah, she was a police officer for 13 years.
In Chicago?
In Chicago. I actually met her. If you don't mind, I'll tell you the story. Yeah. I was a brand new detective.
People in Pensacola will love to get to know you.
Oh, well,
and,
great.
I mean, we'll have plenty of time, and we'll probably talk about some of your kind of policy stuff, but my goal was just so people will know who you are. I learned coming here 12 years ago that they're very open to people coming from the north or elsewhere. I'm not from the south. But they definitely love to know you.
They want to know the story.
And they want to know you love Pensacola.
Yeah.
That's a very important thing is, you know, well, what do you, you'll get asked 1,000 times, what do you like best about Pensacola? And it's good to have answers.
Very good. Okay.
So, your wife, you were saying you met her how?
I was a brand new detective in the Chicago Police Department, and I sat next to not a brand new detective, a detective who had over 30 years on the police department. It was 27 in homicide. It was her dad. And most of the time, the old homicide detectives wouldn't talk to us new detectives. We didn't earn our time yet. You know, probably had 5 years total on the police department. But because my cubicle was next to his and computers were sort of a new thing to homicide detectives, he would lean over and ask me, hey, can you help me with this Word document? You know, I lost this. So I'd go over, help him with PDFs or whatever. And Rachel, who is his daughter, was a brand new police officer and would call her dad and ask questions from the, you know, cell phones were just coming into play. She's on the scene of a, you know, whatever crime it is. And, hey, Dad, what should I do? And he oftentimes would be like, you know what? I haven't been on the street for 30 years. Hold on, let me give you to this kid next to me, me. So I would talk to her and answer her questions.
So he set you up.
Yeah, he said, fast forward. Now we've got a 12-year-old daughter, a 14-year-old son, and we've been married over 15 years. And
she's retired from the force, or she still works?
She left after 13 years. Yeah, okay. I got extremely busy. Obviously, I moved my way up through the ranks.
This is when you're in Grand Rapids. Or, no, you'd still be in Chicago.
Still in Chicago at the time. It was right before the riots in 2020. She put her papers in to retire just so that I could, I was moving up through the ranks and kept getting more responsibility and working very long days. And the timing was perfect because the riots happened and I didn't have a day off for months, probably.
I have to imagine, it's not that common for cops to be married to cops. It's not that rare, but it's not that common. But I imagine as a cop, as a detective, as a, you know, chief, there's got to be something really nice about you don't have to explain you do, the challenge, the fear, the risk. You don't have to overcome that with her.
That's it. When I get a call at 3 a.m. in the morning and I say, babe, I gotta go, she doesn't say, well, hold on, what's this? She gets it. She doesn't even need to know till I'm sure she'll ask the story later, but she understands. It's a lot of times you see police couples, you see police officers and firefighters or police officers and nurses, the same sort of, we all work 24/7. We get it that the schedules are crazy and it's a different lifestyle. And if you're not used to it, it can be a challenge.
This morning you met with PPD before, earlier. What'd you tell them and how did they, how'd they react to you? Because I can imagine they reacted well or they could react poorly or that, there's been a lot of discussion around your appointment, obviously.
Yeah.
But what'd you tell them and how'd they react?
Well, fortunately, during the interview process, I had the opportunity to meet with a whole bunch of them. They invited into the roll call room. I think anybody that was around that could go, they packed that room and were able to ask 45 minutes, pepper me with questions. And a lot of those same faces I saw today. They want to know that their police department's going to be well taken care of. I can tell they really care about the city. They really care about the police department. They really care mostly about their coworkers, and they want to make sure that this stranger who's coming in gets that and has that same care and love for their coworkers, the police department, and the city. And so that's pretty much what I'm just reassuring them. I get it. I've been through this before. The truth is I can't say, trust me, because I know how cops are. Cops are cynical. Cops are not trustworthy. Just because of everything we go through, cops are going to be skeptical, and you got to earn their trust. So that's my message is just I'm going to earn your trust. I'm going to be the hardest working police officer there, and give me time to earn your trust. That's exactly what I intend to do. I'm not going to come in and, I demand change of this. I'm going to learn, going to be very careful to learn all the positive aspects about the culture and all the good that's going on. I can see already just in the, 90 minutes or so I spent over there that they have a very professional police department, a very strong foundation, and it's going to be great. I'm so super excited.
What would be success for you here in Pensacola?
Success looks like, for me, a few years down the road, when my kids are about to enter the workforce, that they say, I want to get a job here in Pensacola, that there's jobs for Pensacola. I want to raise a family in Pensacola. And why that makes sense as success as a police chief is because I think policing, the success of the police department is tied directly with the success of the city. No matter what, you know, show me a police department that has no trust across the country, an urban police department that's not appreciated by the city, that's not trusted, that crime is high, and you just won't find a successful city.
Right.
Show me a police department that's trusted, that crime is low, and those are the cities that the jobs are coming to, that the opportunities are coming through. So
we'll check back in at the top of the hour, but first we're going to do traffic on the fives. We'll finish up this interview. It's a great interview with the new police chief. We've got an accident on 98 in Fairfield. No roadblock associated with that. Just wanted you to be aware. Let's see here. I-10 eastbound between, Pine Forest and Highway 29. Expect a 7-minute delay. And 29 south of 9 Mile approaching the I-10. About a 12-minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives. Bobby?
Yeah, so we're going to get the rest of that interview with the new police chief, Eric Winstrom. We will carry that for you at the beginning of next hour, where he included in that is his promise to the community. So we'll share that with you coming up here, like I said, at the beginning of next hour. Plus, we have breaking news when it comes to jobs reports. President Trump right now speaking at the National Prayer Breakfast as well. So there's a lot of things going on here this morning that we'll share with you. So be sure to stay tuned right here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. John, we have any commercials we got to play, or are we good right now?
Well, we're good, but we can check in with David, see what's going
on. Yeah,
it's
going, David. Check in with the newsroom, yep.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. The Trump administration says it plans to withdraw 700 federal immigration enforcement agents from Minnesota, scaling back part of a high-profile enforcement operation in the Twin Cities. Borders R. Tom Homan announcing that drawdown yesterday, saying improved cooperation from state and local officials have made it possible to reduce their federal footprint. About 2,000 agents will remain in the state. In Mississippi, Bobby, the winter storm death toll is now up to 28. The entire congressional delegation backing a federal disaster declaration to help with recovery efforts there. More than 23,000 households in the state were still without power as of this morning, despite a lot of progress being made by utility crews. And Amazon is rolling out a new tier of its Alexa artificial intelligence assistant called Alexa Plus. And this is going to cost about $20 a month if you want to upgrade to it. The service does remain free, though, they say, for Amazon Prime subscribers.
All right. We have President Trump speaking right now at the National Prayer Breakfast. Let's tune into that and hear a little bit of that right here on News Radio 92.3.
Not good, but we have great support, and we have great support for religion. You know, I've done more for religion than any other president. When Paula was saying that, it was so nice. I was proud of it. And I said, that's true. I told the people backstage, what she said is true. Who else would say that, right? But it is true. But then I said, but that's not saying much, because not too many presidents have done too much for religion. I want to tell you that. Certainly modern day presidents, they bailed out on you. They bailed out. They want to be neutral. They want to be neutral or against. You know, the Democrats are against. I don't know how a person of faith can vote for a Democrat. I really don't. And I know we have some here today, and I don't know why they're here, because they certainly don't give us their vote. I certainly know that we're not going to be convincing them to vote for a little thing called voter ID. It polls at 97%. And even the Democrat, the people, the voters, are at 82% for voter ID, but the leaders don't want to approve it. They said they will strike. They will not allow it to happen. It's polling at over 90%. It's called voter identification. When you go to the polls, you show, my name is so-and-so, and I live in the country. I'm here. I can vote. They say, that's not allowed. And no, everyone's trying to figure it out. And they do something to win. You know what it is? They cheat. But let's get on to another subject. No, at that, they're the finest, probably anywhere in the world, I would say. But we're trying to pass voter ID and other things having to do with your religion. And getting the Democrats to vote is very, very tough.
But we're grateful to the co-chairs of the breakfast, Representatives Ben Klein and Jonathan Jackson and Governor Bill Lee of Tennessee. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And I want to thank a man who's been with me for a long time. We've been friends, and I used to be interviewed by him, and all he wanted to talk about was war. I said, this guy, you know, he's very smart, went to the top schools, was a top student. He's like me. I was a very good student, too, but nobody would think so, you know? And nobody thinks Pete was a good student. I don't know. They think of him as a tough cookie, a flamethrower, which I like, actually, in the position of Secretary of War. But he has done some job. Pete Hegseth. You know, he's very popular. He turned down a very large 5-year extension contract for millions of dollars a year. Oops. I don't want to say that. Your wife is here. She's saying, are you crazy? He's got the greatest wife. But it's true that Pete has just been incredible. And I used to go and be interviewed at Fox and Friends. Remember those beautiful days? And I'd say, what do you want to talk about? So I want to talk about releasing about 25 prisoners. They have arrested American soldiers because they taught them how to fight, and they fought really well. And they won every battle. And now they put them in jail because they said they were too tough. I said, so how many are there? 22. And some of these guys were on the edge. They were fairly tough, wouldn't you say, Pete? But, you know, it's true. We teach people how to fight, and then you put them in jail because they fought a little bit too hard. And we took care of a lot of business. But that's all. We didn't talk about the normal things that a interviewer would be talking about, right? But I saw that, and I saw his love for the military. I was obvious. He was always looking to protect soldiers. And I said, you know, he's a really smart guy. If I ever get this thing, I got to get it. It wasn't easy, you know. They rigged the second election. I had to win it. I needed it for my own ego. I would have had a bad ego for the rest of my life. Now I really have a big ego, though. Beating these lunatics was incredible, right? What a great feeling. Winning every swing state, winning the popular vote. The first time, you know, they said I didn't win the popular vote. I did. But they said, so they'd always say, they would always start, they'd introduce me. While Donald Trump did not win the popular vote, you know, I'm sitting up being introduced by a Democrat or somebody. And they say, why Donald Trump did not win the popular vote? He won the presidency. Here he is. I said, that was terrible. I said, we won the popular vote by a lot. We didn't want to play any games. This has been a much different. We had a great first term. We had the greatest economy in history, but this one's going to blow it away. Already it's blown everything away. We have $18 trillion coming into our country, blowing everything away. But we had a great first term. We rebuilt the military. You know, Biden gave a little chunk of it to Afghanistan brilliantly. He left tanks and planes and, you know, little things. I said, why didn't you fly the planes out? He said, well, nobody thought of it. You could have flown. He said, it's very hard to remove the equipment. Really? You couldn't fly an airplane? Buy a $150 million brand new airplane. Sir, I think it's better to leave it. Why? It's more cost effective. So we leave him a brand new jet. I said, these people are crazy. But we have it under control now like you've never seen, and our military has never been stronger. And you saw that with the B-2 bombers in Iran, and you saw it recently with Venezuela, where we're getting along fantastically with leadership, become a great relationship. I don't think there's been anything quite like it ever. In fact, we have 50 million barrels of oil floating right now over to Houston, and we're working with them really well. I don't think I've ever seen anything. The cooperation that we have is, and it's great for them, because they were in big trouble economically, and yet they have more oil than any other country in the world, I think, except us. But they have more oil just about than any. And by the way, us and them, we have 68% of the world's oil. Now, I know that doesn't mean too much to people of great religion. I know you want to hear about, but, you know, we got to keep our country strong, and we're doing really good. But that's been an amazing operation. I would say when people saw that, I was just talking to a great leader from El Salvador, and he said, man, that was some attack. I've never seen anything like that one, right? Right? That was good, even by your high standard, right? That was a hell of an attack. But we have a great country. We have tremendous leaders. We have a fantastic cabinet. We have unbelievable bench. And one of them is Attorney General Pam Bondi, who may be here. Where's Pam? Is she here? Where are you, Pam? Where? See, she wants to keep it nice and low-key. You're really catching fire, by the way, Pam. You know, they were saying about Kristi Noem yesterday. I did the Super Bowl interview. Sir, are you going to relieve Kristi Noem of her duties? No. Oh. I said, why would I do that? We have the strongest border in the history of our country. We have the best crime numbers.
All right, so we've just been listening to President Trump at the 74th National Prayer Breakfast right here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. When we come back here, we're going to air the rest of the interview that Andrew McKay had yesterday with Eric Winstrom, the new Pensacola police chief. And so he gives us a promise. His promise, I'll tell you what I don't want to tell you what the promise is. He'll tell you what the promise is. We'll hear that coming up next right after this quick break on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the pep talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in today at 10 a.m. and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Daniel will not stop crying. I've changed him, fed him, walked him around, and he's still crying. Now I'm panicking. What should I do?
It's okay. We're glad you called. We learned during the period of...